I did just wonder, though, if lightning strikes, can it destroy us because we're using microphones
right
now?
We're holding these metal microphones attached to cables that are made out of metal. But I think that the fact that, I don't know, maybe the spiritual wisdom will protect us.
I think that's how that works.
Christy and I bought a grill on July 4th. And we haven't had a grill since a tree fell on our house and destroyed our old one. It flattened it.
I feel like that's a sign from the Lord. Hey, Lee, you should not grill.
Yeah, but that sign from the Lord has like a 12-year, like a 12-year amortization. So, like,
yeah, but continue your story. I think there's a sign from the Lord that you should not grill.
So we bought a grill at Home Depot during quarantine. I got it home and... you know, the propane tank and everything. And there's so many facets to this story that are so fun.
Propane and propane accessories.
Remember the Boggle episode? Boggle tournament? That was a great one.
That's so much King of the Hill knowledge.
So I get the grill home and the propane tank. I hooked up the regulator from the grill into the propane tank. That's the best word, by the way, of any part of the grill is the regulator.
Mm. We need music in this every once in a while. Yeah, right there, you need like a...
What it needs to be is like... it needs to be like Old Western music. Regulators?
I did the wrong thing there.
You never seen Young Guns, have you? I should get on with the story. So I plugged up the regulator into the propane tank and then tried to open the valve, and like the valve would not move. And I was like, man, did I get like remarkably weaker during quarantine? Answer is yes. But still, like, I went and got some channel locks and I'm like trying to pry this thing open. So I finally started getting it to move.
Is this the propane tank you had 12 years ago?
No. Okay. Brand new propane tank from Home Depot. Same day as I got the grill. And good question, though. So the valve just pops off the top, like with the channel locks. Yeah. And I'm holding the valve. Regulator's plugged into the, screwed onto the propane tank. And I did the first thing I thought of, which is I texted both Charlie Job and Jeffrey Mason. And
one works with natural gas. One is just a man's man.
Jeffrey's just one of those guys that knows how to do things.
Yeah.
And my upbringing didn't cover any of that. Like, I just knew what a play action pass was. I didn't know how to like change the oil in a car.
Right.
And so, I didn't get Charlie. I got Jeffrey on the phone and he was just like, do this, do this, do this, do this. And like, I was like, am I going to blow up? And I was like, Jack, go in the house. So Jack is like in the playroom looking through the glass
door. I love that because it's like, what's that going to solve? Y'all are gone if it goes. Like,
the whole house, everybody.
House or not. And like one pane of glass between you and Jack, basically.
Dude, the look on Jack's face when he was watching me try to deal with this. And Jeff was like, okay, unscrew the regulator. And I started doing it. And he was like, and like it started hissing. And Jeff was like, I hear it. I was like, am I going to die? And he was like, no, just let it run out. And then I got the regulator off and it stopped. And he was like, okay, you're good. Just take it back to Home Depot. So then Charlie finally calls me back a couple hours. But by the way, long story short, I got a new propane tank. It was great.
We cooked
the meal. Everything's fine. Finally talked to Charlie, who, as you said, is a professional in the natural gas industry. And he was like, oh, dude, I don't mess with propane. I was like, what? And he was like, not at all. I don't touch anything that has... He was like, I have seen too much. I've seen... Yeah, we do. That is a very flammable gas.
This is a GM at a massive natural gas company.
Yeah, that manages many, many, like dozens of plants, natural gas plants across the United States. He was like, yeah, I do not. I was like, so you don't grill? And he was like, I do not touch any... Let me repeat. I do not touch anything with propane. That's what he said. He was like, don't mess with propane.
He's a charcoal guy. The propane slogan is taste the meat, not the heat. That's Hank Hill's slogan. I like the idea of fossil fuels to me are just mind boggling. I don't understand them. I don't know how we found out they exist. I don't know how
we tapped into this,
harness them. I don't know. I don't understand any of it. It's so amazing to me. I do know the last time I had an accident like this was with a can of gas. And Jeffrey Mason and Sam Bingham were both involved.
The instigator and the fearless man.
Well, we like, I think we got like tapped with cutting down a tree at the Emery Valley Pool or something like that. And then we decided, well, it'd only be kind if we burned the stump, which I don't know why we thought that. And, you know, to get rid of it, like we like cut down a tree and I was like, let's get rid of the stump too. So we like, it was like a Friday and we had leadership. This was my first semester being a Young Life leader.
Wow.
Yeah. It was
I thought you guys were going to be like 15.
No, we were like 19 and 19, 20 or something like that. And we had to do this thing. We had to get to Sam's house to have leadership. And I'll never forget, I was parked right by the stump and we dumped gas on it, which first of all, you don't light gas. It like, it just explodes. You really, yeah. I sent you that video on Twitter this week where I guess someone is like trying to mess with a woman and like dumps gas in their car and like lights it on fire and it blows up. But like you do that with diesel, it doesn't explode, but it burns nice.
Right.
But first of all, dump the gas and then it lights really fast and then it follows like a trail of gas up to the gas tank. So then the gas tank is on fire and it's like in one of our hands and it was just throw it. And then I was like, I gotta move my truck, it's gonna blow up. So I like sped off in the grass. It probably wasn't, this was a lot cooler in my head. But
was Donna Craven running the Emery Valley Pool at that time?
I don't recall.
Does Donna Craven listen to this podcast?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'll have to check our listener app. That's not a thing. What noise did you just make?
What if we were those people that have like the thing where you can find out who follows you and unfollows you on Twitter? That's to me is the saddest thing about social media.
Yeah, it's when somebody. But then it also like auto tweets whenever you does. It's I found out my followers. Like, yeah. Ooh, yikes.
I don't know if our listeners can hear the thunder and lightning that's happening around us right now, but we are outdoors and socially distanced so that we don't have to do this podcast through masks.
Yeah, we're at this is the first time we've ever recorded our podcast on another church's property. It's kind of odd. We found a spot. We're at Glenwood Baptist Church's like drop-off overhang thing.
This is a breezeway.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Sort of.
Yeah. And Thomas is happy because you can smell the mulch of the little the rose bush that's
smell
right here.
Smell the mulch.
This is the Ancient and New Podcast. We're going to read some scripture to you guys and talk about it a little bit. You care if I kick off?
Of course. Go for it.
I'm going to read something from a very familiar story from the Gospels. But there was just this one little phrase that I'm sure I've seen it before. I'm sure people have talked about it before. But like, you know that thing when you're reading something super familiar from the Gospels and you notice a moment that you're like, have I ever noticed that before? And it becomes the linchpin of your whole day.
Right.
That was this. So Jesus entered Jericho. This is Luke chapter 19, was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Then something happens in verse 7 that Luke doesn't tell us. He doesn't give us like a real robust version of, which is, it says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. And what I mean, the part that Luke doesn't tell us is how long, like how much time passes in verse 7. Like Jesus goes to Zacchaeus's house. And then people are talking and they're saying he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. So like they walk to Zacchaeus's house. They spend some time there. A dinner is being prepared. That's the next thing we see is Zacchaeus talking at the dinner party. So hours could have passed where Jesus is talking to Zacchaeus about the gospel message. And like all this stuff happens. We know that Zacchaeus gets saved. So like I'm presuming a lot of time passed. Verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Okay, great, beautiful story from the Gospels. We've all read it a bunch of times. We've all thought about it a ton, heard talks given about it. The thing that stopped me in my tracks was in verse 8. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord. And that was the moment. Just that little thing. And I think the reason it stood out to me is that I have a 12-year-old son right now. 11-year-old son, sorry. We were just talking about 12 years ago, the tree fell in the house.
Yeah.
And I guess it was 11 years because Jack was a baby. So it was 11 years ago. But I have an 11-year-old son, and he says, "Look, Dad," all day long to me. Mm. Like, everything he does, like, every drawing he draws, every, like, everything he does that's cool on Fortnite, every little, like, you know, everything that he's reading, he reads these books that are kind of like comics. Mm. And it's like Big Nate and Captain Underpants and all that kind of stuff. And all day long, he like runs through the house and finds me. He's like, "Look, Dad, look. And like everything that he's into, he wants to share with me. And he has all this joy, and especially things that he's done. Mm. And he's like, "Look, Dad, look it." It's like the way little kids say, like, "Look it." Mm. And because I hear that all the time, I think this little moment in verse 8 stood out to me, that Zacchaeus, like an 11-year-old son to his dad, was saying, "Look, Lord, look what I'm about to do. I'm going to give back everything. Mm. I, like, this afternoon, you have changed my life. Like, you have told me the words I've wanted to hear, that I'm accepted, that I can be forgiven, that you're going to make a way for me to come home to God." Like, whatever Jesus told him in that private conversation that took place over the untold hours of verse 7, that we don't know how much time passed, that, like, out of the gratitude and joy of everything that he had heard out of the mouth of Jesus, Zacchaeus says this thing, "Look, Lord." And, like, it just got all over me. It just became like, it was the thing for that day of like, that's what I want my days to be. I want my days to be like an excited 11-year-old boy saying to his dad, like, look what I'm about to do. Like, okay, I'm about to be in this conversation with so-and-so. Look, Dad, look how I do it. I'm about to do this thing that I got to do for my job. Look, Dad, watch how I do it. I'm going to pray for this person. Look, watch how I do this. And just like excited to show him my drawings and my book that I'm reading and my thing that I've accomplished or that I'm excited about or that I'm about to go into.
Yeah. I like that. I read this from Psalm 20 this morning, and in the middle of it, he says, "May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings." Mm. And I find myself in that posture a lot, and it's not from a, it's funny because it's a lot less of a, I don't know. I need to remember that he sees it when I do say that stuff, you know? Like, I think I have a hard time with that. I love when I have moments that feel like the Lord is very clearly saying to me, like, "I saw you. I noticed that you did that." Mm. You know, because we live a life that isn't always provided to us, you know? Like, we have to have faith. And I'm reading a lot about that in Romans right now, just the necessity of faith and like what it is and how it's not the fact that we are, you know, that we get to walk with Jesus on this earth and see him, and he gets to pat our butts when we do something awesome, you know, like after we score a touchdown or whatever. But like a lot of times we just have to trust that he does know that. And I don't know. I just hope for the day, and this is like sin in me. And it's funny because this goes perfectly with what I'm about to talk about. Cool. But I'm excited for a day, I think, where the Lord may say, like, "Hey, I never forgot that," or "I didn't, you know, I remember that you did that thing that one time that no one else saw." And, because I find myself a lot saying to the Lord, "Hey, look, don't forget that I'm doing this."
Well, like, I love the privacy of that you're like, I feel like one of the things you're bringing to this is the privacy of it. That like when I keep thinking about the example of Jack, it's like this 11-year-old boy saying to his dad, like, "Look at this drawing I made. Look at this book I'm reading. Look at this thing I just got on this video game that I'm so hype about." Like, he's not showing everybody, you know, like Anna doesn't come home from work and he like sprints up to her and shows her the things.
That's cool.
It's like, for whatever reason, and this is like the joy of the moment that I'm living in right now, is like, I'm that guy for him that he wants to run to. And I love how you're pointing out the privacy of those moments that you're in your heart, you're saying to the Lord in ways you're not saying to anybody else, like, "Hey, don't forget this. I'm doing this for you." Mm. That's cool.
Thanks. That was just a counseling session brought to you by Ancient New. Welcome to my what it's like for Thomas to be counseled. I'm going to share something from Romans 10. And like I said, this is, it's kind of going hand in hand with what you're saying. And it's kind of I don't know. It's a funny thing for me to talk about. So it feels like I'm opening a door on my life.
Mm.
So maybe, I don't know that for sure. It may not turn out that way when I start talking about it. I read this morning and I've been entranced with the book of Romans for the past 2 weeks, probably, just how awesome it is and how fun of a direction shift it is. And it's just cool. I mean, I've been going through the Gospels and through Acts for a while, and it's been awesome. And then this happens and it's a different thing, and it's cool. It's a curveball. It's nice. And it's awesome. I think it's just, like I said this last week, it's just meat, you know, which is so cool. So this is from Romans 10. I'm going to start in verse 11, and it says, as scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Mm. It's so funny. We're sitting on the back stoop of a really cool older. It's hard to say something's old in Oak Ridge because it has a date, you know. It's like the oldest this could be is 70 something years, which is cool.
Yeah, when we were walking around in Barcelona, it was like, oh, all this is really old.
Yeah, this is old. Like, this is old.
Yeah, this is probably like built in 1952 or something.
Yeah, for sure. But it's cool. I mean, like, but it also brings back a lot of memories of my life when I was a kid and like things that were put in me that probably aren't true. And like, you know, they're not wrong, but they are. It's funny. Like, they're not bad. It's not bad that was taught to me, but it is. It's so funny. And when I read this, the first thing that stood out to me was anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. And I love that because the thing that I feel the most shame about in my life probably is like a lack of doing things, and specifically a lack of doing things for God. Like, that's the thing I feel the most guilt about. That's the thing that makes me feel the most crappy about myself, is when I miss an opportunity to serve the Lord, or like I don't do enough of it. And I loved this morning that the first thing it said was, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. And then it ends with saying, everyone who calls on him, on the name of the Lord, will be saved. And I love that because I have that thing in me that feels a lot of shame when I don't do enough to serve God. Because there's a thing in me that thinks if I don't do enough, God's going to forget about me. He's not going to let me come to heaven. I'm not a good Christian. And it's funny because both of those things were exactly exploded in this, you know, two verses. Like, hey, not only are you not put to shame, but also all you have to do for me to save you is to call my name, and I'm there for you. You know, I thought that was so awesome this morning. And it's like, it's what I was saying. It's like, is it a bad thing that I want to serve God? No. Is it a bad thing that I do things for him? No. Is it a bad thing that I really want to, and I have a lot of fun, and I honestly, I get bummed when I don't get to? No. But it is a bad thing that I feel like crap when I don't.
Right.
When I miss something for the first time in a while, you know, it's like, I'm like,
or that you feel from him some kind of pointed, seething disappointment.
Yeah, like, I'm so bummed out with you right now.
Yeah, that's where it crosses a line.
Right, that you took a nap today instead of whatever. You know, like, and that's funny because all that is in me somewhere. And reading this morning in a hotel room, it was really cool to, like, I don't know. It was just sweet to read both of those things so closely together. And then it was awesome. I'm like, kind of exposing, my Maddie and I were talking about, she asked me this morning in the car, she was like, what did you read today? And I told her about this, and she read the thing about the people who were hired to work and who all work different times, but right. The Lord gave them the same amount, which you talked about a few weeks ago on here. And I was like, that's so cool. That it just felt sweet. It lined up together now that I reread this. But anyways.
Yeah, it's like, I was looking at this, and one of the The first quotation is from Isaiah chapter 28, and then the second one is from Joel chapter 2, you know? And it's just like...
It's so funny it's from Joel, because I'm like, I can't quote anything else from the book of Joel.
Yes. But, you know, sometimes people have this thing of like, you know, the idea that the God of the New Testament is different from the God of the Old Testament. But it's like, when you boil, like, getting in... You know, like just the gospel, you boil it down to its most elemental simplicity. We have to go to the Old Testament to find it.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Anybody that calls in the name of the Lord will, anybody who believes in him will never be put to shame.
Right.
This is the Old Testament God. Anybody who calls in the Lord will, on the name of the Lord, will be saved. Mm-hmm. We're going to boil it down to the most elemental thing. And the thing that's cool about this is like the Isaiah verse deals with your feelings and the Joel verse deals with just like the flat out status.
Yeah.
Like you call on the name of the Lord, you're saved. Plain, simple, done. Like that's it. That is a, that deals with the status. Like it, right. It, this is, these are the true facts of the situation. And then like, and then let's deal with the shame piece in the Isaiah verse. It's like, you're never going to be put to shame. You just believe in him. You'll never be put to shame. And there's like, and it's like, yeah, there's so many layers that happen out of walking that out and learning what it means to serve him, learning what it means to find what he's calling you into and how to use your gifts and all that kind of stuff. And then you find all of these kind of complexities and nuance and everything like that. But it's good to go back to like the pure and simple thing of like, I think the thing that I always think about with Romans 10 and these verses is just Peter walking on the water, forgetting, you know, looking away, looking at the waves, freaking out, sinking, and just calling out to Jesus as he starts to go under, just like, Jesus, you know, it's just like, save me. And like, just throwing his hand up. And it's like, that's it. That's like one of the purest pictures of the way the gospel works is like, I tried to do something. I completely failed. In my desperation, I call out to Jesus and he pulls me up out of the water and saves me. It's like, there it is. Yeah. And that's such a sweet thing to remember.
That's so cool. That's so cool. And that even coupled with the thing I read earlier, I mean, pairing that with Psalm 20 and it talking about like, may he never forget your offerings. May he whatever. And like, there's all these things where he's basically saying like, he's basically saying like, may the Lord give you what you asked for. And I also read this thing and I'm like lacing, threading together all this scripture I've read this week. But there was a proverb I read that like basically said like, I'm paraphrasing, so I could be wrong, but you'll probably know that like the deepest desire of man's heart is to be fully loved. Hmm. And I like at the heart of everything I call out for and ask the Lord for, there's that, you know, it was so cool. I don't know. I there's a thread somewhere in there, but I was trying to tie it up and my fingers have failed me with that.
I think about...
It was so artistic of me.
Yeah.
I like that.
I just thought about you like tying like fly fishing ties.
Yeah, that is the worst part of fly fishing. I'll be the first
really?
To tell you.
Really? Tying the flies?
Well, I don't tie my own flies yet. I'm not, I want to, but like the knots you learn, you have to
is
learn...
Is that going
to
be retired, Tom?
No, I hope that that's like a year and a half from now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been trying to do it for a while and I just haven't got into it yet. But the worst part of fly fishing is learning about three brand new knots you've never thought about in your life.
Yeah.
And then having to do them all the time.
Dude, one of the things about going back to the 4th of July real quick and that that issue with the grill.
Yeah.
A couple of things. One, as secure as I normally feel in the gospel, there was this moment right when that valve came off and I wondered if that thing was going to blow up where I was like, yeah, I deserve this.
Oh gosh. Yeah. This is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out in a fireball. Yeah.
Just
a long in front of my son. Well, he'll never forget it.
Through the. But then a couple, so that was one thing was that like all of my confidence in the gospel, like, evaporated in a nanosecond. But also like Jeffrey Mason, as ridiculously as he is like an instigator and like wants to make ridiculous stuff happen. In a pinch, when I called him and was like, help, I think I'm about to blow up. He like gets really serious. He's
fight or
right
flight, he's fight.
Yeah.
Like I am freeze to the max. Fight, flight, or freeze. That's me. I'm just like, hands up, what's going on?
You're just a possum.
Yeah.
Possum Tom.
Not intentionally. But Jeff is definitely fight, and I'm really thankful
like,
for that.
Like, yeah, he was just cool, serious,
right
there in the moment. And then as soon as we were out of danger, he like I'm driving back to Home Depot, and then he sent me a text of like, here's all the inflammatory things you need to say to that Home Depot employee.
That's amazing. Gosh, yeah, I was with Jeff when he got that call, and I was like, why are you on the phone with Lee? And he was like, no time. And
I love it. I love that, dude. I also love that we didn't blow up on the 4th of July. That would have been the worst firework display ever.
America. Just like a Ray ring Charles. Finger goes flying in the air. Your earlobe ends up over here. This is terrible.
The whole day
That's
through.
That's amazing.
Just an old sweet song. I just went to Georgia for some reason. Gosh. That's where my body winds up,
yeah,
is in Georgia.
Yeah, so far away. Yikes.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like a dark turn. If someone this week decides to call me and explain fossil fuels to me, I'm in.
There you go. Dude,
like,
I
how does it... When like a pipeline bursts in the Pacific or in the Gulf Coast, and they're like, we won't be able to seal this off for 6 months. And it's just like a stream. I'm like, how is there more of it? It doesn't stop. Also, we're talking about how little there is, but you let this thing go for 6 months. Like, I'm just like, I don't understand. How does this work?
I promise you there are people that listen to this that can explain it.
Also, I work for a company that sells hundreds of thousands of petroleum gallons.
Right now, Whopper's going. Really?
Yeah, Whopper can chill, man.
Really, y'all have a
petroleum like, it's like a week. Hundreds of thousands of gallons. And it's like, how? How do we have so much? We're talking about how little we have, but how do we have that much? I don't understand.
In your mind, it's just like the internet. It's just like, it's just endless.
I don't understand it. It's so, like, but our fuel lady will come in our staff meeting. She's like, we had the best week we had in a while. There was 400,000 gallons out of that store. And I'm like, 400,000 gallons? In a week?
You're picturing it in like ice cream or something?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly. That's like so many bowls of ice cream. Somewhere the janitor of this church is like, what is going on out there?
That's right. Oh, gosh. Thanks for joining us, folks. This has been Ancient and New, and I'm Lee.
And I'm Thomas.
And we'll see you next week.